It's Miss Linda Staff. For those of you who have not heard her story, during her embryonic development, she had problems, and it was recommended to her parents, Dorothy and Coy Heron, that she be aborted. They did not, and of course, she defied all of those naysayers, and here she is today. She's a cancer survivor, too, so God's hand is really on her, and the angels really are watching over Linda. Our guest speaker today is one of the most effective and renowned pro-life speakers in our nation today. She frequently speaks at churches. She speaks before state legislatures, including ours. She speaks on nationally syndicated radio. She speaks on television. She speaks before and has spoken before Canadian Parliament. She is the founder and CEO of the Heidi Group, highly respected here in Texas. She also has co-authored HB 2, House Bill 2, which is currently being reviewed by the Supreme Court, which she'll speak more to here in just a moment. We have a special affection for Carol Everett. She's not a very good attender because she's always out speaking at other churches, but Carol Everett is one of our own. She is a member of First Baptist Church. She calls us her home church, and we are her home base. We're so very proud of you, Carol. If you will, come and share with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. I'm going to be okay. I'm okay. Thank you so much. Well, first of all, thank you for those kind words, Pastor. It's nice to be home. Thank you for coming today to hear about the sanctity of life. And thank you. I know there's some in the audience who are praying for me, and I want to thank you for that. I was in the abortion industry to sell abortions to other women to justify my own. And in 1983, came to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And when I came to Christ, I had a vision for what I thought would end abortion. I didn't have enough sense to put it all together, but this is what I believe my vision was clearly at that point, and now I can see it. It was to defund the abortion industry, including Planned Parenthood, of all tax dollars, to make the abortion clinic subject to ambulatory surgical facility standards, because I believe that would close 50%. It closed more than that. And the third thing was to get life-affirming health care all over Texas. Now, I've been a Christian for 32 years. The first thing I did in 1984 was step out to help regulate the abortion clinics in Texas, but we were not successful then. And I will tell you that I was back every session after that trying to make abortion clinics subject to ambulatory surgical facilities. We came close a couple of times. We regulated them. They went from 83 to 38 when we simply regulated them, but we still didn't have ambulatory surgical facilities. And in 2013, I was back again, and we didn't get anything out of the session. The session was very interesting, but nothing came out of it. And then the special session happened. And quite frankly, they did not put the life issue in the Texas legislature. When you have a special session, the special sessions can only address those issues that the governor so deems. And he did not put us on until halfway through the session. And you know what happened. That set up the ability for the pro-choicers to whip in and for Wendy Davis to have her filibuster. But more importantly, it brought the churches. When we were put on the special session, we were put in a room. There were four of us, and they said, each of you may put one thing, one section, in this bill. And my, of course, was the ambulatory surgical facilities. The other three were that abortion doctors must have admitting privileges within 30 miles of the abortion facility. We wouldn't go to a doctor ourselves who didn't have those privileges. That the RU486, the abortion drug, must be given according to Federal Drug Administration standards. There are only three licensed in the state to do that. There's 16 that are providing it. We know they're breaking that law. And then the fourth thing was that no abortions could be done on babies 20 weeks and over. Reasonable things, right? Well, you heard about it. And I will tell you that when the church heard about it, this church was the first to respond. Thank you. It was wonderful. I'm getting chills talking about it. But it was wonderful to walk through the halls and see you members. And I'll never forget the day I walked in the cafeteria and saw Pastor Steve and two deacons sitting there having a cup of coffee. I got chills that day too because I knew God was in it in a different way. It was the first time it ever happened. And then as the pro-choicers came in, and from California, from Illinois, dirty, drunk, nasty, screaming, yelling, "Hail Satan," we knew the church was coming, and they did. And you came in record numbers. There have never been that many people in the Capitol at one time. But the truth of the matter is they were wearing orange, we were wearing blue, and we could tell who was on which side. But the peace that was in there was unbelievable, and I don't have to tell you the story. The filibuster was, they orchestrated that so they could kill the bill in the first session, and then our cowboys, you know, the Governor Perry at that time, Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst said, okay, that's not going to happen in Texas. We'll pass this bill in 10 days, and they passed it in 14 days. It was an incredible experience, but what happened after that was even more incredible. I was able to take my grandchildren to the bill signing. That was unbelievable. Did it change their little lives? Because at that point, we still had to sneak into the Capitol. They were still having all the people out there, and they were still guarding us and watching us. But then the abortion clinics started closing when the bill went into effect. And one by one, there were 44 abortion clinics, and 28 of them closed. It was exciting. But you also know what happened in the courts, because the abortion industry is not going to let that happen. So they challenged it. And I've never really followed the courts very much. You know, my heart's really in ministry, not in political activity. But the reason I go there is I really believe the Lord wants me to tell my story. But I went to watch the first court. You know, the Attorney General of Texas is the one who is charged with arguing these cases, and they brought in, the pro-choice people brought in all these New York feminist lawyers in their nice little suits and in their hair pulled straight back, and you know, they were prissing around, kind of looking at, smirking at our little, you know, we had some attorneys that looked kind of interesting on our side from the Attorney General's office. You know, one of them's coat was flapping in the wind, and anyway, these New York feminist lawyers are up there, and our little guys just cut their knees out from under them, because this bill is a reasonable bill to protect the health of women. Then it went to the Fifth Circuit. Never gone to New Orleans to watch anything before. Decided, well, it's time. So I went. It was a three-judge panel of three women, and they kept asking questions like of the pro-choicers. Okay, you say you have 2,500 doctors who will sign on in support of this bill. Now, where are they today, and why won't they take care of these women? It was very interesting to see that their arguments did not hold up. And over the Fifth Circuit, first time ruled for us and told them not to come back. They came back again after they were told not to. The Fifth Circuit upheld it again, and now we're in the Supreme Court on March the 2nd. Now, I've got a lot of things I want to talk to you about in between that, but I want you to pray with us for March the 2nd. You know, no pro-life bill has been before the Supreme Court in 9 years. This bill has the potential to do exactly what it did in Texas across the nation. Because the part that I want to tell you about is it's saving 40,000 babies' lives in the first year. Because you see, there were 40,000 mothers that heard about how badly abortion clinics handle their clients, their patients, that they didn't meet minimum standards. And those 40,000 women who were choosing abortion found a pregnancy center instead. And most of those chose life for their babies. And in the pregnancy centers, they hear about eternal life. And many of them came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. My friends, I believe revival is going to start in the pregnancy centers of this state. So we have that going on, and it's all happening. But then there's this other side. There's this ministry side. And the pregnancy centers are starting to see more clients. 300% increase, 50% increase, 100% increase. 183 pregnancy centers across the state are flooded with girls and women planning abortions. And what happened there was it actually caused them to have difficulty with their budgets because there was no way to plan for this, and they didn't budget for it. And they first started saying to me things like, we've outgrown our donor base. And finally, I figured it out. You haven't outgrown your donor base. You're just seeing more clients than you ever anticipated. So we started looking at that, and of course, one of the things that I do is attempt to help them with their fundraising. So we started working to do a little more strategic planning and fundraising in that section. And so then I was appointed to the Women's Health Advisory Committee for the Health and Human Services Commission of Texas. Now, I was excited about that, and if you want to know the truth, I thought, oh my goodness, that's just one more thing to do in my week. I don't need that, but I'll do it. But there I sat. There are 12 of us, which is a two-year appointment. There were two doctors and me and nine pro-choice groups sitting there. And when I looked at that and saw that there was $240.1 million with no restrictions on sharing the gospel, I went, why aren't we asking for that money? And you know, I'm so naive, I actually went to the assistant commissioner and said, I'm on this committee, is it a conflict of interest for me to apply for these funds for our pregnancy centers? And she said it would be the first pro-life application for those funds ever. So I contacted the pregnancy centers and said, there's $240.1 million here. Now, we can't get it all. We can't use it all, but it will pay for your ultrasounds. It will pay for your pregnancy test. It will pay for counseling about birth control and telling these girls the truth so they will know about the poisons they're putting in their bodies and maybe make life-affirming choices instead. And you can even charge for counseling. Who do you want to do this? Well, I will tell you, they're all struggling a little bit because that means they suddenly have to become medical facilities. But at this moment, now remember, these funds are not available until July. We are just starting, but we have 33 centers in Texas working to receive these funds. This money will replace Planned Parenthood in the very near future in Texas. Then we had to get our briefs ready. And we've been working on briefs. Briefs for the Supreme Court. And so, you know, the Attorney General started working. He knew this was going to happen, so he started working early. And we were charged with three different, our organization was charged with three different sections to work on. And so we were moving along, and then the Supreme Court announced that they would hear the case, and then it got busier, and the Attorney General appointed a man to oversee all of the briefs. Texas now has 20 briefs going forward. Our deadline is this next week. My deadline for my affidavit was last week. This week, February the 3rd, is the deadline for briefs to be submitted to the Supreme Court. It's very interesting. It's $3,000 to submit a brief to the Supreme Court. It's $2,000 just to make the copies of the brief to go to the Supreme Court. And then you have attorney's fees. It's very interesting to see how this all works. So there are 20 briefs on the Texas side, and 2 weeks ago, the other side shouted to the rooftops that they had already filed 45 briefs, David and Goliath. Well, you know, that's a little frightening when you really step back and look at it, but we looked at it a different way. You see, they categorized their briefs. So isn't this interesting how the Lord shows you things? We knew where the holes were in our briefs, and there were three. So we were able to go in and add briefs to take care of the three holes in ours. And we believe that we're going to be moving forward. The guy who's arguing for the Attorney General is Scott Keller. I hope you'll go out after this is over and sign up on the Heidi Group sign-up sheet to be part of the prayer for this. And I hope you'll pray. We're going to ask you to pray specifically for Scott Keller. This young man actually clerked for Justice Kennedy. And of the nine members of the Supreme Court, we believe that Justice Kennedy is the swing vote, the vote we must impact. So I'd ask you to pray for him too. There are four seats going to the Supreme Court for Texas. Only four seats in the whole Supreme Court are allowed. I called and said, I want to go, and they kind of went, well, get in line. The governor is going. The attorney general is going. Jody Lobenberg, the woman who is the author of this bill, is going, and the fourth seat is not going to me. But I'm going to pray. I decided that I needed to be there to be outside the Supreme Court that day. Maybe I can't get in like I could the Fifth Circuit, but I'm going to be outside praying. But I was contacted in December by another segment of this work. Matt Lockett is a man who prays in front of the Supreme Court and has for like 10 years. And he said when HB2 started that God spoke, God doesn't speak to me like he does him. I wish he did. He said God spoke to him and told him to keep his eye on Texas and start praying for this bill. And so since 2013, they've been praying for HB2 as it moves through. And when you talk to Matt Lockett, who has now organized a national prayer organization just for HB2. We're praying twice more before it's heard and every month until it's announced in June. Matt says when HB2 is upheld. He doesn't say if like those attorneys. He says when. And he believes with all his heart that God has his hand on this bill and it will pass. And you know, truthfully, I've got to tell you that the world around me crumbles and says, what if, and tells me all the time it won't. But I remember who passed that bill. No man, no woman, no organization could have passed that bill. That bill was God's bill, and he orchestrated it from day one. He had his hand on it, and if he had his hand on it then, he has his hand on it now. And I expect it to be upheld. And then the abortion clinics in Texas, we now have 19, but if that bill is upheld in June, that will take Texas to 9 abortion clinics. Lives will be saved across this state because they're not abortion clinics, but because pregnancy centers are reaching out with well woman and comprehensive health care and real answers for women. There's another prayer warrior that's on this prayer call. His name's Tom Sluter. He lives in Arlington, Texas. And what he said to me was so encouraging because he said the night of the filibuster, he was watching it, and when it went off at midnight, he was really struggling, and he heard God say to him, go to bed, I have this under control. My friends, I can't tell you how excited I am, because if you look around at all the things that have happened this last year, and look at it, look at what happened with the baby body parts sale. I'm sure you've all heard about that. Haven't you, or have you not? I don't know. Anyway, there were 10 videos filmed, 6 hours in Texas, in Planned Parenthoods, of them selling the baby's body parts after the abortion. And when this happened, it was life-shattering for the pro-life movement. We'd always known it was happening, but we'd never been able to prove it. But this one young man, who's very, very brave, went into abortion clinics over a two-year period in every state, and videoed and recorded them as they told them and made deals to sell babies' body parts to him. $75 for a liver, you know, $75 for research. But I've been in the abortion industry, and I know that's not how they work. And when they came in, when he released these videos, he sent them straight to Health and Human Services. He sent a full video over there. But when they got there, before it got to the top, it went through the bottom, and the lower staff reported to Planned Parenthood. And when the investigative team from the Attorney General's office got to the doors of Planned Parenthood in Houston, they were ready. They had their records ready, and they just handed them a box and sent them away. And they did not find anything that they could indict for. No charges could be filed because they didn't find anything. Everything was clean. And I met with the investigative team, and I kept saying, there's something on the other side of this that we're not seeing, and there's something more. And they were saying, well, we can't do this because that wasn't in Texas, and we can't do this, and we didn't find any baby body brokers in Texas. And so we went online, and online there were catalogs selling babies' body parts. There were selling babies' body parts, livers for $24,000, $20,000 for a pancreas, $700. I think there's something so dark that we don't understand, but there's something more going on, because I believe that that's where the money is. I believe the baby body brokers are the ones that are paying the abortionists, not Planned Parenthood. Nothing's happened in any state. But 2 weeks ago, Planned Parenthood sued David Delight and the young man who did the videos. Now we can ask them questions. Now we're going to find out about their records. But you know, I keep going back. Did God have his hand on that? Will it work? It didn't work in the beginning. It didn't do what HB2 is doing. And I call that God's miracle law. We have a lot of work to do. I think it's going to take about 5 years to implement this $240 million in Texas to life-affirming well-woman health care. But you know, it's really about ministry. It's not about laws. So we're preparing in our office. We have hired a former Perry employee who understands the government to help us write this grant. And it will be a grant that will cover undocumented women and even prenatal care. And they can't just, a pregnancy center just can't apply for it. They have to be a subcontractor under a contractor. So the Heidi Group is going to be the contractor in this case. And then the Well Woman Care can be provided across the state. It's a huge project. It'll cost us $214,000 to get started and to change the ministry down in the valley. It'll cost us $300,000 for the Fifth Ward in Houston, $100,000 for Tomball, and we haven't even talked about Closer. But you know, I know God's going to do it because it's His project, not ours, not mine. And as I've struggled this last year with what my project would be for this year, my word for this year is stronger. It's Ephesians 6:10. This is what I'm praying for myself this year, that I would be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. My friends, we've seen God work in Texas. We prayed that God would end abortion because it started in Texas, that He would end it first here. And now what we hear is the eyes of the nation and even the world are on Texas. That's too big a bite for me, but they're calling us saying, get your model going. We want to take it to our state. Thank you for your part. I may have been down there, but you were down there. And your prayers, remember Linda's story about how she went. That's what changed this. All these sessions, I've been down there before, and we never had the church, and we never got much. But when the church came, God moved. Thank you. Remember, we're going to win this war. We win it because we're on His side, but I think it is the funniest thing in the world that we win it because we're the only side having babies. God bless you, and thank you. Thank you.
Well, we can see why Carol is in such high demand by those who want to focus on issues of life. I think I want to spend just a couple of minutes talking about what we can do, what I can do, what you can do. I think I want to begin with each of us needs to accept personal responsibility for what's going on. There have been almost 60 million babies, I'm rounding it up a little bit, almost 60 million babies murdered since 1973. That's a big number. It's almost too much to get our minds around. It's easy for us, I think, to kind of get lost in the crowd and say, well, that's there, this is here, I didn't do that, I love babies. There are 300 million people in the United States of America. 60 million babies have been executed. If you break that down, divide it out, that means 5 American citizens are responsible for the death of each baby. You and 4 others need to assume the responsibility for the death of each baby. I and 4 others need to assume personal responsibility for the death of each baby. You know, when God looks at us as His kingdom church, of course, there are much fewer of us than the 300 million. But when God looks at us as His church, I don't think He sees a crowd. I think He sees each individual face, don't you? I think He picks me out of the crowd. I think He picks you out of the crowd. So now when we think of His kingdom church, there's way fewer than 300 million. So now the number has gone down from one responsible to 5 people. I think it comes down now to one death maybe for every 3 people, one death for every 2.5 people We need to accept personal responsibility for what's going on. I would say another thing is we need to stay informed. There's a lot of information. Carol's brought a lot of information to us here today. Each of us needs to be informed as to what's going on. Did you know the Supreme Court was going to be hearing her bill? Did you know that? Probably didn't, did you? Another thing I would say is we need to become outspoken. About what? About abortion. You know, it's kind of beyond the point of being afraid we're going to lose friends. Baloney with the idea that you never talk about politics or religion with friends. Talk about religion with friends. The lives of babies are at stake here. Let them know who you are. We talked about this Wednesday night. Let them know who you are. Let them know that you follow Christ. Let them know that you're loyal to Christ Jesus. And let them know that you're against abortion. It's not logical. It's not biological. It's not scientific. It's certainly not God's will. Let me go on record here. If any of you are going to report to the Austin Statesman, get your pen ready. Abortion is against God's will. It's murder. Life starts at conception, and taking a life after conception is murder. It is not God's will. Those who are aborting are breaking God's will. There's no debate. There's no argument about that. You need to take that right into the heart of your soul. Buy into it. Another thing you can do is pray. Pray, 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 pray. Pray for Carol. Pray for legislators. Pray for the Supreme Court. Pray for the babies, pray for the mothers, pray for the dads. Let's pray. Another thing, be influential. All of us have somebody over whom we have influence. Children, coworkers, you know who they are. Those people who, when you speak, they kind of listen. Take advantage of that influence and sway them to be pro-life. Well, Pastor, I shouldn't take advantage of that influence I have. You sure should. You absolutely should. Whether it's family, whether it's neighbor, whether it's friends, whether it's coworkers, you absolutely should take advantage of that influence and sway them being pro-life. Vote. Vote. Any organization in the United States is only successful in bringing 60% of their people out to vote. Do you know how successful the church is? Do you know how successful the evangelical church is? 60%. We're no better than anybody else. We're no better than anybody else. But you know, Peter calls us a peculiar people. We are different than everybody else. We have a lot more on the line. We have the will of God on the line. We have holiness on the line. More than 60% of us ought to turn out for vote. And listen to me, vote Jesus' morals. The day you allowed him to become Lord of your life, you gave up your personal privilege of voting your will. You're not to vote on foreign policy. You're not to vote on the economy. You're not to vote on women's rights. You're not to vote on guarding the border. The day you made Jesus Lord of your life, you became accountable for voting Jesus' will. You vote for the candidates at every level, from school board up through president. You voted every level for those who will dogmatically uphold Jesus' will. Now I'm telling you, Jesus' will is pro-life. Well, Carol asked me to do this, and I thought, don't get me started on this. I'll take more than the time allotted. I'm gonna quit there. I've got a little book coming out sometime, early spring. Kind of goes more into this. We'll spend some more time on it when that comes. But listen, let's be God's children. Let's be God's church. Let's make a difference. Okay? Pray with me. Lord and Savior, in this nation, each of us, and four others are responsible for the death of one baby. We cannot shift that. We cannot shift that blame upon anyone else. And within your kingdom church, one of us and two others, there are three of us now who are responsible for each baby's death. Now the focus is growing narrow, and we are so very sorry that we've not been mindful. We're so very sorry that we've been so involved in the trivial things of life. We're so sorry we've been self-absorbed that we have not paid attention to the babies for whom you've made us responsible. We repent. We turn to you this morning. We're behind Carol. We support Carol. We thank you for Carol. Each of us individually, though, is going to stand up now and become involved. Lay this upon our hearts. Draw us to you. God has just laid something on my heart, and I'm going to go ahead and follow through with it because he's laid it on my heart. For those of you who are able, and I know that's not everybody, but for those of you who are able, could you just make your way very quickly here to the altar, and let's pray for the Supreme Court to do the right thing. Can you just quickly make your way to the altar? Not everybody's able, and that's okay. You can pray from where you are. Let's make our way down here to the altar. Come on down. Some are just kneeling here at the front pew. Some are standing. Are we all here? Lord Jesus, all of us here today, and many of us have made our way to the altar to demonstrate our conviction and to demonstrate our determination. We yield our will to you. We yield our life to you. We yield our vote to you. Help us now as we lock arms with church family all across the nation and all across the world in our commitment that we will do everything we can to eliminate abortion in our lifetime, in our generation. Guide us now, empower us now in all that we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you all for coming down here to the front. As they make their way to the seats, let me ask you this. Those of you who are here today and maybe guests with us, this is a bit of an unusual service. It's a very unusual service. But I want to give you an opportunity to come with any decision God may have laid on your heart. Some of you may have made your mind up today. This is the time the Lord wants you to trust Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Man, way to go. We are so supportive of you. We want to ask you to come. We have counselors down here at the front eager to help you. Some of you may be here today and have determined during this presentation that this is where you want to serve. You want to be a part of this church and serve God here in Central Texas through First Baptist Pflugerville. We invite you to come and make that decision public, whatever the Lord is laying on your heart. Would you do that today? Would you do that now? We're going to sing a song, and while we're singing, I'm going to ask you to come. Let's all stand together. And while we sing, you come.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Do not go with me, I still
say this to you. I've heard Carol's testimony on a number of occasions. She's always careful to point out God forgives those who have aborted children. And I know many of you here today have done that. We just want you to know we love you. All our sins are under the blood of Jesus. And God has forgiven you of that sin. So we're so supportive of you and loving of you and caring for you. And we thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. We love you. We know you walked between us here this morning. You spoke through these servants. You told us the truth. It hurts, doesn't it? Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the truth. Thank you in the sense that our prayers and our peoples will support all the way to the Supreme Court. Thank you for that love. Take our gifts, our offerings, our tithes. Multiply them and use them to your glory. Thank you for the beauty of this day. In Jesus' name we claim it.
God is a creator of life. A Bible says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Jeremiah 1:5. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works is wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, and I was thrown together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me was written in your book, for one of them came to be. Psalm 139, 14 from 16. For I know the plans I have for you, cares the Lord. Plans purposed for you, for not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Jeremiah 29:11.
I barely made it. I've had to be in five places this morning. Thank you, Mike. He's in the new members class this morning, so I'm filling in for him, doing announcements. And first up, very much in light what Carolyn had to share today, the Pregnancy Resource Center here in Pflugerville. Sorry, I'm a little bit out of breath. All right. They have a table in the foyer. So if you want to volunteer to help out with this amazing ministry, to really be a part of life, saving lives with souls and literally lives, it's a great ministry to be a part of. You can go volunteer. They got paperwork and all that stuff over there. Man, I need to give myself a little more time here. the other thing that we got going on is the women's ministry has a lot of things starting up. They have their spring Bible studies starting up in mid-February, and you can sign up for those over there as well. They have a table. And the IF Conference, which is a big simulcast, citywide kind of thing for women to kind of go, if God really is real, shouldn't we be living like it? And that's sort of the question they beg, and it's really cool. They got some amazing speakers, and so I really highly recommend y'all to go check that out. Sign up for it.